Thank you very much. That was beautiful, and it's hard to follow up. I see sometimes why Larry says it can be hard to follow up on some of the special music. That is awesome. You can just close your eyes and listen to the music, and God is in our music as well, and thank you very much. That was beautiful. And I'm going to be able to do it without the remote, a little practical administrative here thing before I get started. First, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. It is always one of both a blessing and a little bit of a curse in that no matter how many times I do this, I get nervous up here. So hopefully I deliver a message that has meaning and that you can walk away with a feeling that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what happens this week, next week, or forever, that there's always a God in every moment of your life. And it was brought home to me. I'm doing the same message I had prepared for September 3rd, that Labor Day weekend. And for those that weren't here, I got all set up here, got the laptop all set up, the music group was practicing, and everything was going well. And I thought, well, I better go to the men's room real quick, and did that. And then out of the blue, it felt like I got shot in my side and stabbed at the same time and collapsed. And I don't know a whole lot about what happened next. But I do know that there were three angels over me. It turned out to be Bruce and Greg and Chip. Terry, I think, had hollered in. She saw me collapsed over the table. And at first she thought I was drunk. And then she hollered, just kidding. And then she hollered in, I need help. And I don't remember a whole lot about what was going on, but at some point I think it was Chip. He said something that essentially God's with you. And I'll have to tell you, in that moment when you don't know exactly what's happening, well, I knew exactly what was happening, but I didn't know how severe it was, but I could tell from the pain it was one of the worst attacks I've ever had, that it was bad. But there was a comfort that came over me through all that pain when essentially Chip made that comment that no matter what, God's with you. And it did give me comfort. Now, I did have to look to God on the ambulance ride because Tim, the paramedic, was trying to put an IV in this arm and then here, 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 couldn't find my veins. And then I heard somebody holler, well, Tim, you're usually pretty good at that. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. So I do remember that part. But everyone was wonderful, and I thank you for both the caregivers as well as all the thoughts and prayers of everyone here as well. I thought when I put my message together for that Labor Day weekend, it came about because I was just seeing headline after headline after headline after headline of just negativity and bad things happening and the attempts to corrode our Christian beliefs. And it got me thinking about how can I lead into my message with either a story or a joke to follow what Larry typically does. And I found one that sort of ties in. And it's about a prominent senator that passed away after a long illness. And he ends up at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter's there. And he says, St. Peter says to him, where would you like to go, heaven or hell? And I thought, this is a perfect follow-up to Larry's series on heaven and hell. I'm going to use this joke. And the senator looks at St. Peter and he said, well, of course I want to go to heaven. Why would I want to go elsewhere? And he said, well, I think you need to look at both places before you make a decision. And he said, well, okay. So he said, let's go down to hell. We'll take a look at that. So they take the elevator ride down. They get there. The doors open up and he's expecting fire and brimstone. And he sees there, when he gets there, this beautiful golf course and a clubhouse and all of the senators that have passed before him and all the representatives and all the lobbyists, everybody he had ever worked with. And it was a beautiful day, and the green grass was green with no weeds. It was awesome. Everybody was having fun and a good time. They welcomed him. He had dinner there. You know, wow, that's great. St. Peter said, hold off, don't decide yet. And they took the elevator up to heaven. And there in heaven, he said, here's a preview of heaven. And they saw the clouds and everybody communicating and very, very smiling and everyone happy there too. And St. Peter says, so where do you want to go? And he said, wow, I always thought I wanted to go to heaven. I think I'll go to hell. That's where all my friends are. And it really looked awesome. I had no idea that's what it was like. St. Peter said, okay, here's the key to the elevator. And down he went forever for eternity. The elevator door opens. And he didn't see the beautiful green and then lush. He saw devastation, abandoned buildings, broken windows, boarded up windows, people that were unhappy. And he saw the same people. And he said, what in the world happened? And one of them replied, oh, yesterday was our campaign. Today is reality. And I thought, wow, is that so true? And it's not, and it really brought me to a quote from 2008 from Pope Benedict. As I introduce again, I think Larry talked about the Catholic Church a few weeks ago, and I bring it back as well. In 2008, he visited the United States. And upon his arrival, he had a meeting with bishops, the U.S. bishops. And one of the quotes he said that was picked up by the media, he said, quote, the Western world today lives as though God does not exist. And I thought, well, I wonder how did he see America? He must have seen it very similar to that elevator door opening up and looking from a Christian perspective, maybe that same kind of broken windows and abandoned buildings based on some of the things that are going on in our community. So I looked up the transcript of that meeting, and it was 10 or 12 pages long, but I clipped just a little bit of a passage that relates to that. And he said, perhaps America's brand of secularism poses a particular problem. It allows for the professing belief in God and respects the public role of religion and the churches, but at the same time can subtly reduce religious belief to a lowest common denominator. The result is a growing separation of faith from life. And I think that was borne out this week. There were some judges that went through the nomination process, and there's a judge in Michigan, I believe her name is Larson, Judge Larson, and over the last 90 to 120 days as she was going through the review process by Congress, one of the things that was brought up to keep her from moving on into the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals here in Cincinnati was her Christian and specifically her Catholic faith. That the politicians felt, the senators who were reviewing her nomination, felt that her Christian beliefs were too strong and they might influence her rulings on the appeals court, therefore they were voting against her. I find that hard to believe. A country that was founded on the principles of Christian belief, we now have individuals who are reviewing other Christians or Christians and saying, you're not qualified. I think that's what the Pope was looking at when he came here. And you can see it in the common day controversies that are going on. I know we've talked about Tim Tebow, and probably to the point maybe you're tired of hearing about it. But remember a couple of years ago when he was in the NFL and after touchdowns, he would go to either the sidelines or the end zone and he would kneel down and say a prayer of thanks. And he was ridiculed and belittled by the press, by the mass media. He was just a fool. Now we have individuals that are taking a knee in protest and they're held up by the same media that ridiculed the same action of kneeling down because they're protesting something that they say, well, they ought to have the right to protest. Well, they have every right to protest, but there's a time and a place. But my point with this is, what a difference. Someone who's kneeling for his Christian beliefs is ridiculed. Someone who's kneeling in protest is held up as someone that you should aspire to be. A minimization of our Christian values. And then there's a push in our society to put God aside. And one of the things that as I did research for this topic this morning, there's a lot of writers that talk about the fact that the media and others that are not of the same belief that we are want to privatize your Christian beliefs, put them into a corner so that you can't talk about them, you can't live them unless it's just among yourselves, that you can't live it in the workplace, you can't live it in the picnics, you can't live it at a ball game, whatever it might be. So I started looking for some examples of some headlines that might be out there. And of course, you've seen in the news media the bakeries that are being forced by our government to violate their religious beliefs related to same weddings. And what's tragic about this is oftentimes those bakers say, we'll serve anyone, we just don't want to provide a wedding cake for the act of same-sex marriages because that violates our religious beliefs along the way. But our government is forcing them. This caught my eye this week. The Delaware Board of Education has a proposal before the State Board of Education to allow children to choose their race and sex, and that you can no longer enforce race or sex on the children, and that the school will have no obligation to tell the parents that little Johnny wants to be Jill now in the third grade. It's beyond my scope to understand how people would even propose that. Because if you boil it down, what they're essentially saying is that we will allow an environment where we say we know more than God. God created you as a man, God created you as a woman, but you don't have to be that. You can be anything you want. Because you're smarter than God, you know more than God, you can do anything you want. But just from a practical perspective, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And in the provision, believe it or not, now whether it passes, hopefully it won't, but in the proposal is that parents who push back against their child's choice can be reported to the state authorities by the teachers. So if they encounter any parent pushing back against their child choosing to be something that they're not. Just says essentially we are smarter than God. And then Catholic charities in the state of Illinois were forced to shut down because the government was attempting to force them to do things as it related to adoptions of foster children that were outside of their Christian beliefs as well. And then I picked up this quote from a teacher down in Florida. Texas, and she said, as part of a much longer article, she said some of the practical ways that she sees God being pushed aside is that in their school, and we've seen this for years, they have policies that make giving a simple Tylenol to a student requires a note from the parent, while the same nurse can help that same child get an abortion with no parental involvement needed at all. And all of these are little things, like the proverbial story of how do you boil a frog? You put him in the pot of water and then slowly turn up the water or turn up the heat. And I think that's what's happening. Little by little by little, incrementally along the way, there's a hostility and intolerance towards the issues as they relate to our Christianity. And Dr. James Emery White, I'm not sure who he is, but he put together a nice article that, again, I found while I was researching, and it's just an excerpt. He said, what is happening in America is an increasing hostility and intolerance towards Christian beliefs and values that many perceive to be an attack on religious freedom. In current American culture, you are free to be a Christian as long as you don't live out your faith, vote your faith, or take a stand in relation to your faith, or believe others should embrace your faith. In other words, it can be privately engaging, but must remain socially irrelevant. Exactly what Pope Benedict was talking about, this push to say it can't be part of who you are, America. Christian beliefs are over in a corner, in a closet, put away until such time in private you bring those out. And all of these headlines and all of these changes sometimes, I called it blinded by the noise. Sometimes it can really get you down. You can wonder with all of the tragic things that are happening, all the terrorist events around the world, all the things that are done in the name of whoever that might be, insert the word in that blank, all the things that are happening in our country, sometimes it can really beat you down so that you don't see that God's there for you. There's little things that we can do. And he's essentially calling us to find our voices. In small ways, there's things that we can do. But the Bible has all kinds of stories where individuals, and I think Nehemiah was one where he felt that he was being overwhelmed by circumstances and that God had abandoned them. And God said, I'm always there for you. And he found his voice, not unlike what happens at the Emmaus Walk when Phil was talking about some where they've seen transformations. And that transformation comes I go back to something that Greg Conrad said many, many years ago to me. We were talking in Sunday school or the men's group. I can't remember which it was, but we got on a topic. And he said, it's so different for me when I went from being a greer of what Christian beliefs are to being a believer. And he said, that's a huge difference. And that's what takes place on the Emmaus Walk, where you really feel a personal connection to that relationship that you have with God. But by finding our voice, there's things that you can do, and you look back at some of the examples in some of my research. I'm just going to grab a few of them. In 1789, William Wilberforce found his voice. He took up a cause, overwhelmed by all types of things, but he saw slavery as the issue that he wanted to find his voice on. So he took that baton, if you will, and he riddled the British Isles of slavery. Martin Luther King found his voice and addressed injustice and prejudice in our country and mobilized people peacefully. That was his voice. MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driver, was founded by an individual whose son was killed by a drunk driver who said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to let life and everything that can take you down take her down, and she found her voice. But you have to do it with God's heart. How do you find your voice? How do you find that island that you want to rid of wrongdoing, whatever that might be? How do you find that one issue where you can find your voice, where you can go against the destruction of the Christian belief and pushing God aside? You have to do it with prayer. You have to look to God and say, what can I do? It's different for every one of you here. And I would challenge myself as well as yourselves in messages that we deliver. I saw, again, preparing for this message, a pastor said, putting together a message is often like throwing a boomerang. As you write the message, you're writing a message for those that are listening, that are there in the service, that you hope walk away with something of value from the message and from the experience of the worship service. But 99% of the time, it's a boomerang that comes back, and there's issues that I have to find my voice on something. Sally and I talk about sometimes we have to get off the internet. I'll tell her, quit reading that. It's negative, 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 constantly. And it just beats her down. And I said, quit reading it, or choose one item that so aggravates you. Find your Wilberforce voice. Find your Martin Luther King voice. And do something. Pick one. I don't care which one it is. But it's easy to become apathetic. Like, what am I going to do? I read about all of whatever the issue is. Heroin addiction, opioid abuse, all the things that are going on in the world, the terrorism, the fighting, everything that's going on in the communities, the politics and all of the fighting, the craziness there. It's easy to just retreat. And God is saying, look to me. I have the answer for you. And if all of us prayed to God right now, we'd all get a different answer. Our voices are different, and he made us that way. So that each of us, individually but more collectively, can do God's work. So what are some of the additional things that we can do to find our voice in a practical way? It might be just talking to someone about your faith while you're having coffee at McDonald's. I think I heard Karen say they went to McDonald's for breakfast this morning. Maybe it's talking to someone who serves you in a way that expresses your Christian beliefs. Maybe you look to run for something. City council, maybe the school board, maybe the county commissioner, the trustees, you name it. But you don't abandon your Christian beliefs just to get elected. That you stick with your beliefs. Maybe you give somebody a word of encouragement who's sad or depressed. Sit with them. Write a song. Write a blog. There's hundreds and hundreds of things each and every one of us could do differently. And I would challenge you for 2018, as the new year approaches us, just pick one. Spend the next couple of months thinking about, how could I find my voice to show that I'm going to stand up for God? I'm going to demonstrate my relationship with Jesus Christ through my voice. I'm going to do something different. Subtle, large, it doesn't matter, but something different next year where you find your voice. And no one would confuse the fact that you're not a Christian. As an example of how strange things might come together in divine providence, you might call it, I'll end with this. As I was preparing this message, I had it all pretty much put together for September 3rd, and I was tweaking it over the last week or so. And Tuesday or Wednesday night, we stopped by Hobby Lobby. And right as you check out, they have all that stuff to get you impulse buying right at the last second. And in one of the racks were devotionals, different books of devotionals. So I just happened to grab one, and I said, I wonder what November 5th has on that. So I just grabbed one, randomly grabbed it. They have different authors. And would you know, when I flipped to November 5th, it said, you can live as close to me as you choose. I set up no barriers between us. Neither do I tear down barriers that you erect. People tend to think that their circumstances determine the quality of their lives. So they pour their energy into trying to control those situations. They feel happy when things are going well and sad or frustrated when things don't turn out as they had hoped. They rarely question this correlation between their circumstances and their feelings. Yet it is possible to be content in any and every situation you find yourself in. It goes on, put more energy into me and enjoying my presence. Don't let your well-being depend on your circumstance. Instead, connect your joy to my precious promises. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will meet all your needs according to my glorious riches. Nothing in all creation, not all the things that I've talked about this morning, nothing will be able to separate you from my love. In Philippians it says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, O Lord. That was from a letter from Paul as he spoke to the Romans. God is there for us today, tomorrow, and always in every circumstance. We have to find our voice from his voice. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we have come to you today to honor and worship you and to bring our cares, our concerns, and our joy of the many blessings that we have for the opportunities that you give us each and every day. That your grace is with us. Your Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. We ask for those times when we get down and we're beaten down by what's going on in our world, what's going on in our lives, by illness or injuries, or those detours of life that we had no idea they were coming. Be with us. Give us the strength. You know what each of us needs individually to find our voice. Open our hearts and our minds so that we are not blinded by the noise and that we can see you in each and every circumstance. And your voice will become our voice. Amen. And I'm going to end tying into our bulletin. You probably saw that picture on the front of the bulletin. And it's actually, Emily asked me, Jim, what do you want me to show on the face of the bulletin? And I said, Bev Doolittle does some really neat artwork where it appears to be one thing and it's actually something else. And if you look closely, I put it up on the screen as well. While ostensibly it appears to be a cowboy on his horse with his pack horse following behind him in the snow, but if you look closely, you can see a series of faces in the stones, in the trees. You see the noses and the eyes. And you start looking around. And when I looked, I saw a couple. And then you start seeing more and more and more. And as you leave today to find your voice, God's out there. He's everywhere. It's just looking differently at life every day so that we can see him. Amen.